Good afternoon, everybody. I welcome you to this second session. This morning, may I remind you that we reflected about the joy that should be in us and that we should share with others. Now, in this session, we are going to reflect on what I call the gift and the responsibility of prophecy. The gift and the responsibility of prophecy. And as already indicated, the basis of our reflection will be the apostolic letter of His Holiness Pope Francis to all the consecrated people on the occasion of the year of consecrated life. So this letter was published by the Pope on the 21st of November of last year. And may I remind you as well that the year of consecrated life is a little bit longer than a year, in fact. It started on the 30th of November of last year and will end on the 2nd of February of next year, of 2016. And I would like to start with a quote from the same letter, which probably applies to us as well during this time of the day when many of us might have slept a little bit, for example, I don't know. But in Malta we have the tradition of the siesta. In the afternoon we take a little bit of a nap, especially in summer, for those who can, because those who are at work obviously cannot take a nap at work. But even here, what I notice is in Australia as well is the reminders for a power nap during a long journey with the car, which may save lives. But the Pope, in his letter, states this: I am counting on you to wake up. To wake up the world, to wake up the world, since the distinctive sign of consecrated life is prophecy. The distinctive sign of consecrated life is prophecy. Then the Pope refers to a meeting which he had with the superiors general of the orders of consecrated life, in which he had told them these words: radical evangelical living is not only for religious, it is demanded of everyone. But religious follow the Lord in a special way, in a prophetic way. This is the priority that is needed right now, to be prophets who witness to how Jesus lived on this earth. A religious must never abandon prophecy. So this phrase, wake up the world, and the other phrase, this is the priority that is needed right now, to be prophets. These are two phrases that, incidentally, the Superior General, Natalino Camilleri, referred to in his message on the Feast of St. John on the 24th June of this year. Okay, I believe many of you would have read this message and would have noted that the Superior General referred to many times to this letter, to this apostolic letter of Pope Francis. So I shall base my reflections, I shall actually make three reflections during this session. The first one being on the word priority. The other two I will let you know as we go along. So the word priority, as we know, comes from the Latin word prior, which means precedence in right or rank, or in simpler terms, a state of being earlier or before someone or before something else. Okay? Thus, something having a priority means that it is the most important thing to do. It is the most urgent thing to do. Or a person having a priority is the most important person in the room. Something that has to be done as soon as possible. It cannot wait too long. Examples. For example, a businessman who would have booked a first class or a business class seat on a plane. He would have what we call priority boarding. No? So he would be the first one to go over the plane and enjoy some comfortable seat over there, some more food than the other economy class passengers. All right, so we would have priority boarding. Another example. I would have lots of things to do in very limited time, so what would I do? I would list them and then prioritize them. This is the first thing I should do, this is the second, this is the third. The most urgent ones being the ones that I would do first. So what the Pope is saying here is that being prophets should be the number one priority for us as Christians. The Pope feels, and I think all of us agree with him, that this is what the world needs right now. It needs people who with their life are witness to how Jesus lived on earth. This is a priority, the Pope is saying. One of the things I learned when I was young at the society, and which I still remember and which I still cherish and occasionally I use as well, is to ask myself the question, what would have Jesus done if he were here? What would have Jesus how would have Jesus behaved in this circumstance? And I believe that this question is still applicable for us today. The reply to this question would be a way that is similar to the life of Jesus Christ. What would have Jesus done if he were here today? What would have Jesus said? How would have Jesus behaved in this circumstance? The challenge, I would say, is how to apply and how to live this, what I call, Jesus lifestyle. How do I apply it? How do I live it? Into the present culture, into the present society in general. I think most of you know, especially those who use the internet, know about the YouTube channel Rome Reports. Rome Reports, which, if you subscribe to it, you will receive a daily email with links to short video clips about the occasions, the messages, the audiences that the Pope would have during the week. It is actually updated on a daily basis. Last week, on the 29th June, one of the links directed me to a short video on the occasion which the Pope had with the new archbishops, bishops and archbishops that were ordained this year. On the feast of Saint Peter and Saint Paul, the Pope had the mass with these archbishops and he gave them the pallium. But during his message, the Pope said these strong words to the archbishops. The Church wants you to be men of witness. Saint Francis used to tell his brothers, preach the gospel always, and if necessary, use words. There is no witness without a coherent lifestyle. Today there is no great need for masters, but for courageous witnesses who are convinced and convincing. Witnesses who are not ashamed of the name of Christ and of his cross, not before the roaring lions, nor before the powers of the world. Here the Pope uses very strong words. Courageous witnesses, witnesses who are convinced and convincing. Not only convince themselves, but able to convince others. Witnesses who are not ashamed of the name of Christ. And the Pope even refers to roaring lions and the powers of the world. I think that here he is alluding to the martyrs in the early years of the Church who were tortured and brutally, for believing in God. I think the Pope is saying that to be a prophet, to be a witness in today's world is a challenge that is similar to that of being a martyr in the early years of the Church. Because as we know, this is not something easy, but rather something that needs a great effort. However, although it's something which is difficult, but it is not impossible. Okay, otherwise, God would not have asked this from us. Being a prophet means thus being courageous, being convinced, and not ashamed. Being a prophet means being a martyr. So, this is my first reflection. Being a prophet is a priority for us as Christians, but even more for us as members of the Society of Christian Doctrine. The Pope is asking this not only from the leaders of the Church, which are the archbishops and the bishops, but also from those who are in consecrated life and from those who are following a rule of life as we are doing. There's this rule of life. We pass on to the second reflection. I will base my second reflection on one of the verses of Pope Francis in this letter, which I repeat here. Radical evangelical living is not only for religious, it is demanded of everyone. So far, so good. But the Pope then qualifies this verse. But religious follow the Lord in a special way, in a prophetic way. So it's like there is a difference between what we may call as common Christians, and then there are those Christians which something more is being demanded from them. And I think we fall under this category. Although we are lay people, and thus not classified as people who are living a consecrated life. However, as members of the society, we are living a rule of life, the one given to us by our founder, St. George Preka. So I believe that the Pope's words here are clearly applicable to us as well. Something more than a common Christian is expected from us as members of the society. We are not only following the gospel, but also a specific rule of life. And I believe that in society we have a lot of guidance here, apart from the four gospels, which, as we believe, are already a very good guide to living a proper Christian life. We have the added benefit of having two other documents, which we have the responsibility of studying well, which are the SDC rule of life, and then the other document, the SDC vocation, identity, and formation. I think these three books, the Bible, the rule of life, and the other document, the SDC vocation, are books which we need to know well to be able to follow Christ in our charism in the society. As outlined in the document, the SDC vocation, one of the five dimensions of the SDC vocation is the prophetic dimension, the prophetic dimension. And this document clearly states how the member should be a prophet in contemporary society. For example, I quote from paragraph 27 of this document. The SDC member is called to cultivate in himself a consciousness which is rooted in the gospel values and which not only provides him with an alternative vision to that proposed by contemporary culture, but also empowers him to foster it in others. Not only provides him with alternative vision to that proposed by contemporary culture, but also empowers him to foster it in others. So from these words we can appreciate how as SDC members we are called to not only have a lifestyle based on the gospel, which is already a good and acceptable thing in itself, but to foster this lifestyle in others as well. So I would say we have an added responsibility. The first one being that of living the gospel, then of transmitting this gospel to others by the way we live. So as a member, I cannot just be satisfied with living a good lifestyle. This is already good, but a little bit more effort is needed to make this lifestyle visible to the people. Not with a sense of proudness, to let people praise me, or saying, look how that person is living so good. No, but with a sense of witness. Not with a sense of proudness, but with a sense of witness. That is, doing it, doing the right thing, even in front of others, but without expecting others to praise me or to acknowledge what I am doing. Okay? When I was at university, I was studying management and accountancy. One of the lecturers once mentioned a term which, when he mentioned it, I did not understand it, but there was a word called satisficing. Satisficing, I don't know whether you ever heard it. Satisficing. Then I went to look this term into the dictionary. And the lecturer at the end of there even gave an exam question on this one. And when I looked it up, I found that this meant a decision-making strategy that entails searching through the available alternatives until an acceptability level threshold is met. So searching through different alternatives until something acceptable is met, and then doing it. Then I also learned that this style of management is in contrast to another style of management, which is the optimal decision making, which, as you may understand, is an approach that attempts to find the best alternative solution, not an acceptable one, but the best. So there is a difference between finding something acceptable and going for the best. Right? Both are good, but one is better than the other. So this is the question I am now making to myself and to all of us. Am I going to satisfy by just going for what is acceptable, or am I going to optimize by going for what is best? Obviously, in the Christian lifestyle. And our Christian lifestyle, like management, is based on decision making as well. We are continuously making decisions in our lives, especially in the way how to behave with others. Am I going to forgive? How am I going to use my money as a member of the society? Am I going to dedicate some of my money maybe for the apostolate? Decisions about the ways and means how to have my personal recreation. Do I consider the effect that I might have on my other members in the group, on the center, on my SDC ministry? How do I use my time? So decisions that may lead us to either something which is just acceptable or something which is more than that, that is optimal. Am I going to just be satisfied with living a good life, not disturbing anybody, not causing any harm to anybody, and things like this? Or shall I try to go for what is best in the proposed lifestyle of the SDC member? And let others see me live this alternative to the lifestyle proposed by the contemporary world. Am I going just for what is acceptable or for what is best? So the SDC member, I think, is who is called to give a prophetic dimension to his life, cannot close himself in what we term as a glass house. The SDC should mingle with people, understand their concerns, and through his words and actions, provide an alternative way of living based on the gospel. And here I quote again from the document, The SDC Vocation, Identity and Formation, paragraph 32. The member realizes that the world needs to see him living his real calling. In spite of everything, he ought to feel joy that he is a provoking question to the world. For he does distinguish clearly between what is eternal and what is just passing fashion. But I would like to highlight this. The member realizes that the world needs to see him living his real calling. So it's not just living the good life, but we must make sure also that the world is seeing us living this life, assuming that we are already living a good life, because if we are not living the good life, it's better for the world not to see us. Okay. 2 years ago, I had the opportunity to go to Brazil for the World Youth Day in Rio de Janeiro. We spent there 3 weeks. We were a group of 17 members from Malta. The first week we spent in one of the parishes in Brazil, in Rolandia, where there is a parish priest from Gozo, who is actually ministering there. And then for the second week, we traveled to Rio de Janeiro, where the Pope was going to meet millions, we can say, youths from the world, because at one point during the Mass there were almost 3 million of youths attending the Mass. But first of all, this was a very meaningful experience, both for myself and for all the group, because seeing the Pope face to face, not very far from you, is not something common. And I mean, many of us were enthusiastic about this. But what particularly struck me was the way the Pope behaved when he was going from one place to another in his, what we call, the Pope Mobile. Okay? The Pope never wanted security requirements. And he still does not want any security requirements to distance him from the people. Okay? He does have security requirements, but not that strict. So on the first day upon his arrival in Rio, the Pope's car, which was not the Pope mobile, it was just a small Fiat car, in which the Pope was traveling from the airport to some meeting he had. So the Pope's car was in fact the smallest car in the procession of security cars that there was. Okay, and at one point it got stuck in the middle of a street because of a routing error. The police made a routing error. So the people that happened to be in that street, when they noticed that the Pope was in this car, they all rushed to the car and trying to touch the Pope. Okay, so there was some big security concern over there in Brazil. but the Pope, as usual, he was not worried. On the other hand, he was smiling and very happy to be able to meet the people so close. And then when we had the meetings actually with the Pope on the Copacabana beach, and the Pope was passing through his Pope mobile, we had four meetings actually with the Pope over there. The open white Jeep on which the Pope was, the Pope mobile, was without any bulletproof windows, so the Pope could touch the hands, greet the children, and at times hold even babies. Okay, we could see even some of the people throwing caps and scarves to the Pope. He used to wear hats as well. It's something which the Pope usually does, even when he is going through the square there in Rome. So this is the lifestyle of the new Pope, and the security people had to become accustomed to it. Meeting the people, getting in touch, literally in touch with the people. And when he was going back from Brazil to Rome before the trip, the Pope gave an interview to one of the television networks over there in Brazil, and when the interviewer asked him about his method of approaching people, he said these words, which struck me. He said, before the trip, I went to see the Pope mobile that was supposed to be sent to Brazil. It was all enclosed. So initially the intention was to enclose the Pope in this Pope mobile. It was all enclosed with thick glass. And then he said these words, if we want to be with the people we love, our friends, we want to communicate, not pay a visit in a glass house. No, I would not have been able to come here to see these big-hearted people while shut up in a glass box. Okay? So the Pope here is giving us an example of how to be real prophets. We have to be with the people. So let us ask ourselves, do we occasionally shut ourselves in a glass box? Do we occasionally prefer the comfort of our home, of our group, rather than making that extra effort to be with the children, to be with the youths, to be with the adults, to be with the parents that bring up the children at the center? Do we make that extra effort? The prophet cannot be distant from the people, as we know. The prophet has to be seen, as we said earlier, not with a sense of proudness, but with a sense of witness. The prophet has to be close to the people with whom he is called to prophetize. So the SDC member has to be close to the children, to the youths, to the adults whom he is called to serve. But being with the people and offering them an alternative way of living is not as easy. And we know this, it is not easy. It can create uneasiness and challenge to us as members, and this is acknowledged even in the same document, the SDC vocation document, which, I quote again, states that the prophetic dimension created and still does cause uneasiness and challenge to the SDC member. No prophet ever felt comfortable amidst the surrounding culture for prophetism, for its very nature, demands from the prophet that he stays on the fringes of society in order to look at it from a critical perspective. The idea that the prophet stays somehow on the threshold of society gives him the advantage of being able to meditate between its genuine values and deceptions. So it's rather challenging, as we all know, of being a prophet in the contemporary world. The Pope also uses the phrase In Spanish it is otros lugares, or alternate spaces, alternate spaces. And he says, I trust that rather than living in some utopia, you will find ways to create alternate spaces where the gospel approach of self-giving, fraternity, embracing differences, and love of one another can thrive. And here we can include our centers, monasteries, communities, centers of spirituality, schools, hospitals, family shelters, we can include SDC centers. All these are places which the charity and creativity born of your charisms have brought into being, and with constant creativity must continue to bring into being. They should increasingly be the leaven for a society inspired by the gospel, a city on a hill, which testifies to the truth and the power of Jesus' words. So it's like our life and our centers must be these places that offer an alternative way of living, that show the joy of living the gospel. One thing which I like to do most when opening the center, and the small kids first at 5 o'clock in the afternoon come to the center with their parents, I find it very important and a very meaningful moment to greet these children and these parents going into the center with a smile. With a smile. So they would just not just find the door open, but they find someone greeting them with a smile. And I think this shows that we here in this place, at the center, we try to live the gospel in a joyful manner. And that is the thing that we try to do even when the children go out of the center. There is someone who is saying goodbye to them, or peace be with you, as we traditionally say, but with a smile again. So they come in with a smile, they go out with a smile, because this is the way of living the gospel in a joyful manner. And I think it's a small way of how we can show to the children, to the youth, to the parents as well, that here is a joyful place, even though we are sinners. But we try to live the gospel in a joyful manner. And another example, occasion on a monthly basis in our center in Zurich, we hold a meeting for the youths. When I say youths, those who are not attending the SDC center, so they would be like between 17-year-olds and 25-year-olds. We have a group of like 15 of these who on a monthly basis come to our center for a monthly meeting. And one thing which I love about this is that every time that we have an informal session, first we'd have a formal session like a discussion and some prayer, and then we'd have something to eat, and the occasion play some football or billiard or table soccer, and we have some time to have a discussion with these youths. But they will always mention the years when they used to come at the center and how joyful they were in attending the center. So I believe that, I mean, it's not something about our center only, but many of the centers are like this alternative space that is being created for the people to come and like see and experience an alternative way of living. Let's go to the third reflection. So we first spoke about the priority of being prophets, that is being demanded from us. Then, rather than satisfying, optimizing, doing what is best, not only to live the gospel, but to show it to others as well. The third reflection, a short one, on prayer. There might be the temptation, and this is referred to even by the Superior General in his last message, that what the Superior General calls domesticating our radical life, as you may find it difficult for ourselves and difficult to be understood by others. Domesticating, keeping it for ourselves. If this happens, this would be a disservice, I would say, to the society at large. So how can we tackle this temptation? Obviously, for this temptation not to materialize, we need to basically do one thing. As SDC members, we need to have an attitude of familial intimacy with God, being intimate with God. We need to be aware that God is with us and that we need to relate to him in some way. And this is understood because we have been chosen by him and sent by him. So how can I do his mission if I do not relate to God? How can I be a prophet, a witness of God, if I do not relate to him? And I refer again to the meeting of Pope Francis with the new bishops and archbishops. In the second part of his message, he told them these strong words as well. The church wants you to be men of prayer, masters of prayer, men and masters of prayer, that you may teach the people entrusted to your care that liberation from all forms of imprisonment is uniquely God's work and the fruit of prayer. The church wants you to be men of prayer, masters of prayer. And I also remember last year when the Pope had a meeting with the priests of Rome. It was in that large hall in the Vatican. There were hundreds of priests over there. And during the message, the Pope asked them this simple question. How do you finish your day? How do you finish your day? Is it with God or is it with the TV? How do you finish your day? Is it with God or is it on the internet? Is it with God or is it watching a movie? Which are not bad things, but what is the best way to finish the day? So we can direct the same question and similar questions to us as members of the society. How do I finish my day? Do I meditate on the divine attributes of God, those that are presented to us in the watch? Do I do my best to pray the watch as best as I can during the day? If I work in an office, for example, or if I work on a computer, do I have a soft copy of the watch on the computer quickly available to me? I don't know if there exists one in English, but in Maltese, there exists a PDF copy of the watch. Do I participate in the daily morning mass with the right prayerful attitude? Do I pray the rosary with particular intentions on a daily basis? Do I say a short prayer before starting to prepare the lesson or the activity for the kids and youths? Do we remind each other of the prayer from the watch when we are together as members on an outing or on a trip? And they also quote from the document, the SDC Vocation. It is on the example of the great book, that is Christ crucified, that the member prays God to help him address his life in a spirit of victim towards God the Creator, a spirit of charity towards others, and a spirit of self-denial. So the SDC member should also thank God on a daily basis for all the benefits that God bestows on him. The member should thus have an attitude of gratitude towards God, as this will instill in him a revulsion for sin, as stated in the same document. So let us pray, even that simple prayer, but very profound on a very regular basis. Thank you, Lord God. Forgive me, Lord God. Once I was reading one of the founder's writings, I forgot which one it is, but I found an addition to this prayer. So the founder wrote, thank you, Lord God. Forgive me, Lord God. Guide me, Lord God. Three things. Thank you, Lord God. Forgive me, Lord God. And guide me, Lord God. So to make a conclusion, let us remind ourselves of these three reflections we did in this half an hour. The first one, we reflected on prioritizing. Prioritizing. We said that we need to acknowledge that being prophets and being witnesses of the gospel is a priority which is being demanded by the Pope from all Christians, but more even from us as lay persons who are following the rule, the SDC rule of life. Second, we spoke about optimizing rather than satisfying. Okay, we need to acknowledge that rather than simply living this good life for ourselves, we need to make it seen by others, to make it visible, so that the way we are offering will be an alternative way of life even to others. And third, the third reflection was on praying. Given that this lifestyle is centered around Christ, we need to have a close relationship with him. We need to have an attitude of prayer and thanksgiving towards God. And I conclude from another sentence from the apostolic letter of the Pope. At times, like Elijah and Jonah, you may feel the temptation to flee, to abandon the task of being a prophet, because it is too demanding, wearisome, or apparently fruitless. But prophets know that they are never alone. As he did with Jeremiah, so God encourages us, be not afraid of them, for I am with you to deliver you. As a suggestion for these few moments of personal reflection, I would suggest that you go through the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 10, Gospel of Matthew, chapter 10, the whole chapter, 42 verses, or the Gospel of John, chapter 15, verses 18 to 27, and then the first four verses of chapter 16. So John, chapter 15, verses 18 to 27, and then chapter 16, verses 1 to 4.